Praise the Lord. Message number 183. The title of the message is Suffering Part 10. And we'll continue to speak about fasting, the book of Esther, and section B. We spoke in section A that how Esther was challenged, she was rebuked to go back and serve the Lord wholeheartedly. She was afraid and she wanted to be in the comfort zone. She does not want to take the responsibility. She went to escape the responsibility. She did not want to take the risk to stand with the Lord and with his people. But Mordecai, as he rebuked her and correct her, and that was the rebuke and the correction of the Lord in her life. She responded to the call, as we can read here, Esther chapter 4, verse 15 to verse 17. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. And we know that what had happened after. As we pray and fast with unity, with agreement, the Lord will work in our behalf. And as you obey God and be willing, as Esther was willing, to put her life in serving the Lord worked in her behalf, in the behalf of his people, and he will work on our behalf and on the behalf of the church. Before we continue the message, let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We do pray, O God, that your word that you're going to send to us will revive us and revive the workers, and will encourage them to go back in serving you and living their life according to your will. O God, I pray you anoint my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to go on and move in our life. We thank you and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord say in the book of John chapter 12, book of John chapter 12 and verse 25 and 26, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. As Esther, she was willing to lose her life. As she said, if I perish, I perish. God save her, and God save his people. The beautiful things here in John chapter 12, verse 26, the Lord say, and where I am, my servant also will be. We need to be where God wants us. We need to be where God is, where Jesus is, and we need to be with him. And as we will be with the Lord will do a great miracle for us, as he did to Esther and to his people. In Esther chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and verse 3, we can read the following: On the third day, The third day of fasting, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in the front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request, even up to the half the kingdom it will be given you?" What Esther had received here in answer to her prayer and fasting, and to the prayer of her maids, and the prayer and fasting of Mordecai and the people of God, she received favor from the Lord. When we obey God's call, and when we accept to do His will, the Lord will give us favor from Him and from men, from authorities, from leaders, from kings. He will touch their heart and make their heart prone to our requests, and will grant us our petition and our needs. What the Lord also he gave Esther, the Lord gave Esther also a wisdom in verse 4 and 5, chapter 5, it says, "If it please the king," replied Esther, "let the king together with Haman come together to a banquet I have prepared for him. Bring Haman at once," the king says, "so that we may do what Esther asks." And we know that the king went with Haman, and in the banquet he asked her, what you do? Queen Esther, she told him, "You come tomorrow again for another banquet, then I will tell you my request." God gave her wisdom how to say it. She invited him first, and then she invited him for the second time, as if she was emphasizing to him the importance of her request, that she would not bother the king if there is something unnecessarily. But that is the wisdom of the Lord that God gave to Esther. When Haman was invited the first time, he went home happy, but when he saw Mordecai at the gate of the king, he was angry, and Haman and also Mordecai did not show any honor or respect to him. So he went home angry, and when he went home he boasted to his wife and his friend that the king invited no one but he only, and he told them about also Mordecai. What they suggest to him, as we can read in Esther chapter 5 verse 14, his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Have a gallows built 75 feet high and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go with the king to the dinner and be happy." The suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the gallows built for that purpose. That was on the third day, and as the prayer and fasting continue, the Lord was working on the behalf of his people. He was fighting their enemy, and the Lord worked out for their behalf. If you will read Esther chapter 6 and from verse 1, we will see how God works the ways of the Lord. We will read from verse 1 onward. That night, the night that the king was invited to go the second day for the banquet, that night the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing he has been done for him, his attendant answered. The king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the court, the outer court of the palace, to speak to the king about hanging Haman, about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he had erected for him. His attendant answered, Haman is standing in the court. Bring him in. The king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? See here the pride. And see how God is working in the behalf of his people. The king cannot sleep, and he will ask the book to be read to him, the chronicles of the kingdom, the stories, and he would find out that Haman was not honored, that Mordecai was not honored, although he has done a great things for the king. And then Haman came to propose that Mordecai need to be hung, and he had prepared the gallows, and the king had put in his mind and decided to honor Mordecai. And see how God is moving. Our prayer and fasting is a timely weapon to move, to let God move, and to let God strike our enemy. Esther chapter 6 verse 7, I will read onward. So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on his head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them rob the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse, and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai, the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. And that was the first strike of God to the enemy. And that is very clear fruit of the prayer and fasting that the people of God did in order to face the threat of Haman and the enemies of the Jews that they had plotted for them. In verse 11, so Haman got the robe and the horse. He rode Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor." Afterward, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief and told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, "Since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of a Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin." While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuch arrived and hurried Haman away to the banquet Esther had prepared. You know, not only God has struck the enemy very clearly, but the Lord also made it very clear that those who oppose his people, that they cannot stand against the people of God, because God is with them. They cannot stand against the Lord, the God, they cannot stand against their, and they cannot stand against his people. You need to take heed of the message. You need to trust God fully that he will do the same thing for you. Even you are facing problem or hardship or difficulties, force and people against you, and power of darkness, they are fighting and they will come to fight, but you need to trust the Lord that he will fight the battle for you, and he will make it also very clear to the enemies that they are not fighting you, but they are fighting the Lord. God, as the people prayed and fast, the Lord worked on their behalf. And we will read here now Esther chapter 7 and we read from verse 1 what happened further and what we can learn from the fruit of our obedience, how Esther obeyed and the people of God obeyed the Lord, how God rescued them. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and as they were drinking wine on that second day, the king asked Queen Esther, "What is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to the half the kingdom, it will be granted." Then Queen Esther answered, If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sought for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sought as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing?" God is fighting for his people. Very clear here. Verse 6, Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Would he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house?" As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. You see here, the Lord is punishing the enemy. God is striking now the enemy who was plotting all these bad things against the people of God. In the same way, God will fight and will punish your enemy who is doing evil things against you. Then Harbuna, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A gallows 75 feet high stand by Haman's house. He had it made for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king." The king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. See here, we find here that the plan of the enemy is failed, and the enemy of God, the enemy of the people of God, was punished. The prayer and fasting of the people of God in Susa was not only resulted that Haman was hanged and the enemy was struck, but the whole plan of the evil was reversed. If you will read further in chapter 8, you know what they were planning, that they will kill every Jews. Now we will read that God not only stopped the plan of the enemy, not only that he punished the one who were planning for it, but he reversed it back on their own head. The same day, King Zazir gave Queen Esther the state of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came into the presence of the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. The king took off his signet ring, which he has reclaimed from Haman, and presented it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed him over Haman's state. See here, the plan of the enemy was reversed, and whatever state, position, and authority of the enemy was given to Esther and Mordecai. The same for us when we obey God's calling and stand firm in prayer and fasting against the work of the evil one. The Lord will take away the good things from our enemies and give them to us. What more further? Let's read verse 3 from chapter 8 onward. Esther again pleaded with the king, falling at his feet and weeping. She begged him to put an end to the evil plan of Haman the Agagite, which he had devised against the Jews. And the king extended the gold scepter to Esther, and she arose and stood before him. She is in the favor of the Lord and in the favor of the king. Verse 5, "It pleases the king," she said, "and if he regards me with favor and thinks it is the right thing to do, and if he is pleased with me, let an order be written overruling the dispatches that Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, devised and wrote to destroy the Jews in all the king's provinces. For how can I bear to see disaster fall on my people? How can I bear to see the destruction of my family?" King Zerzir replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Because Haman attacked the Jews, I have given his state to Esther, and they have hanged him on the gallows. Now write another decree in the king's name in behalf of the Jews, as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked. At once the royal secretaries were summoned on the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Shivan. This day, 23rd day of the third month, that is in the month of June. And we know that in the month of Adar, that is the 12th month, and that is in the month of March, the next March, that the plan of Haman to execute all the Jews in all the provinces of the kingdom. So here, the Lord is reversing the plan. He will not only stop it, but he will reverse it, that the Jews will have the upper hand against their enemies. So they wrote out all Mordecai's orders to the Jews and to the satraps, governors and nobles of the 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. These orders were written in the script of each province and the language of each people, and also to the Jews in their own script and language. Mordecai wrote in the name of the king Xerxes, sealed the dispatches with the king's signet ring, and sent them by mountain couriers who rode fast horses, especially bred for the king. The king edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate any armed force of any nationality or province that might attack them and their women and children, and to plunder the property of their enemies. The day appointed for the Jews to do this in all the provinces of the king Xerxes was the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar. That is the day that Haman and his advisor and his people and his son's family had devised to destroy the whole Jewish in the kingdom. They used the lot. But we know the word of God that say in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. They cast the lot, but what had been happened, that the day that they choose, God used the same day, even as if that the day that they were gathered together to plot against the Jews, God was with them, and God also was laughing on them. God knows his people will respond to his call, and God knows that this message that you are hearing is for you, and you will respond to the call of him into your life. And the Lord is sure that you will do as Esther and the people of God did, and God will reverse and will punish and will give you the upper hand against your enemy who had plotted all the evil things against you and against his people and against the whole people of God of all the world. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers riding the royal horses race out, spurred on by the king's command, and the edict was also issued in the citadel of Susa. Here the deliverance not only was granted to the Jews in Susa, but extended to other provinces. As we pray and fast, God will bring salvation, and God will bring deliverance not only in our midst, but that will extend to the rest of the people of God in other places, in other countries, and they will God deliver and release from the plan of devil in other places, and they will get delivered and released from all the work of Satan. When Haman and his people cursed the Lord to put the date to devise their evil plan against the people of God, the date that they decided to execute their evil plan was the same day that God used to bring judgment upon their heads. The Lord with you. The message is to raise up your faith and trust in Him. And as we will read further, Esther chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, what happened further? Mordecai left the king's presence wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold, and a purple robe of fine linen. And the city of Susa held a joyful celebration for the Jews. It was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor in every province and in every city. Wherever the edict of the king went, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebrating. And many people of other nationalities became Jews because fear of the Jews had seized them. So what happened more? There was a great joy and celebration for the event that had happened. And what else? So here you will find joy and gladness. The Lord will restore your joy, weeping and crying the whole night, but rejoicing in the morning. David said, He turned my mourning into dancing. And what else? He said, and many people of other nationalities became Jews because the fear of the Jews has seized them. As the Lord will work miraculously in our midst, we will have a great rejoicing, and many, they will come to the knowledge of Christ and to the fear of the Lord, because they will witness clearly the presence of God in our midst. There was great joy and celebration, and there will be also great joy and celebration in your life for what the Lord is, what about the Lord is going to do for you in our midst, in the midst of His church and His people. We'll get delivered. The enemy will get punished. Not only the plan of the devil will be reversed, but it will be stopped or reversed, but enemy will be punished. Deliverance will extend to other places, territories, cities, countries, nations, languages, nationalities, background, languages, sects. The Lord will work through our prayer and fasting. And many will come to know Christ. Many, they will get saved. Many will become Christian because they will see clearly what the Lord is doing in our midst. Esther chapter 9, verse 1, on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but now the tables were turned, and the Jews get the upper hand over those who hated them. The people of God who were oppressed by the others, the tables were turned, and the time had come now to be relieved and got the upper hand. As we continue to pray and fast and persevere, the tables will be turned for our behalf, and we will get the upper hand over our enemies. Esther 9, verse 2 and 3, the Jews assembled in their cities and all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack this seeking their destruction. No one could stand against them because the people of all other nationalities were afraid of them, and all the nobles of the provinces, the tribes, the governors, and the kings, administrators helped the Jews because fear of Mordecai had seized them. You see here that the enemy were afraid, and also the people, the authorities, they help the people of God to execute the judgment of the Lord against them. We will read also Esther chapter 9 verse 18 onward to verse 32. The Jews in Susa, however, had assembled on the 13th and 14th, and then on the 15th day they rested and they had rested and made it a day of feasting and joy. That's why ruler Jews, those living in the villages, observed the 14th of the month of Adar as a day of joy and feasting, a day for giving present for each other. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th day of the month of Adar as the time when the Jews get relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them to observe the day as days of feasting and joy and giving present of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast the pearl, that is the lot, for their ruin and destruction. But when the plot came to the king's attention, he issued written orders that the evil schemes Haman had devised against the Jews should come back onto his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, this day were called Purim, from the word pur, because of everything written in this letter, and because of what they had seen and what had happened to them. The Jews took it upon themselves to establish the custom that they and their descendants and all who joined them should without fail observe these 2 days every year in the way prescribed and at the time appointed. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation by every family and in every province and in every city. And these days of Purim should never cease to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of them die out among their descendants. So Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter concerning Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews in the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Xerxes, words of goodwill and assurance to establish these days of Purim at their designated time, as Mordecai the Jews and the Queen Esther had decreed for them, and as they had established for themselves and their descendants in regard to their times of fasting and lamentation. Esther's decrees confirmed these regulations about Purim, and it was written down in the records. What had happened became a great day to be remembered and to be celebrated. It became an anniversary for them, annual anniversary every year. They will celebrate it the same for you and for us today. As we mourn and fast at the present time, we will rejoice and celebrate the victory in the future. As the Lord will come, He will take us. As the deliverance of the Lord will happen into our life, we will remember. We will say the Lord was good, and we will continue. Cheer one another, help one another, encourage the poor, strengthening them with His word. Encourage the backslider to come back to God and to serve Him, so that great deliverance and celebration and salvation will be always in our midst. I pray the message will inspire you and will encourage you to stand firm, report back for service, and receive the full blessings of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness, for everything You had given us, for Your word, for the deliverance, for the assurance, for that You gave us a victory when You died on the cross for our sin. Thank You, Lord, for You have turned the table, and now we have the upper hand. Thank You because You reverse it on devil's head and on the enemies whom devil used against us. Thank You for the salvation of the new people. Thank You for the deliverance of Your people everywhere. And I pray in the name of Jesus that You use this message to encourage others. Oh God, to continue to stand firm, to back reporting to the service, doing Your work and Your will. I pray that You will use this message. Mighty Lord, take it and bring it, O God, to those who are in need to hear the message of Yours. I pray that this message will bring the harvest that You desire in the life of Your church and Your people. O Lord, bless us, O God. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let Your hands be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.